who hear the word of God and keep it. You may be seated.
This one to whom we sing, Jesus, he is the Christ, he is the Messiah, he is the promised one, and he is the Son of God. Or you could say it this way, he is God the Son. And as God the Son, he's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our lives. And I want to remind you this morning that he is the divine healer. Jesus Christ, God the Son, is the divine healer. We're going to see that in Acts chapter 9 in verse 32. We're going to pick up where we left off last week in our journey through the book of Acts. But I want you to think about healing for a moment before we begin. Now, all of us in this room know that something's wrong in this world, and not just in this world, right? Something's wrong with us physically, emotionally, spiritually, psychologically. In every way, we know that it's not the way that it was supposed to be. I mean, we feel it, whether it's a bacterial infection or a broken bone. We all feel it, whether it's a stroke or stroke-like symptoms, or on the other end of the spectrum, strep throat. It could be the flu. It could be some type of heart disease. It could be, I don't know if you can hear it in my voice this morning, it can be the allergies from all that's in the air this time of season. It can be a number of things, can it? And because of the fall, when human beings, the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, when they fell into sin, with that fall and entrance of sin into our experience comes all types of diseases and sicknesses that can affect us physically, our body, and our minds, our psyche, our soul. You remember that that first sin actually separated human beings from God relationally. And so when we think about this morning, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the promised one, God the Son, as the healer, I want you to remember that he alone can bring us physical healing. But not just physical healing, also spiritual healing and emotional healing and psychological healing. In fact, there's not a type of sickness that Jesus' life and sacrifice and resurrection and glory doesn't cover. And so we're going to talk about that based on Acts chapter 9 this morning. And I want you to see Jesus as the divine healer. But I want you to think with me for a moment. Who is this woman behind me? Don't say it out loud. Maybe you know because of this past week's events. Who is this woman behind me? Now, this picture is when she was younger. You can tell it's a dated picture because it's black and white. But you'll notice the features. Her skin is tight. Some might see a picture like this and say, oh, she's pretty. Her hair has all of its color. Her teeth are all there, as you can notice. No dentures, no other replacements like that. She's a young woman. Now, all of us know that we don't stay young forever. That we're in the process of growth and development, and we all reach a peak in that. And once we reach the peak of that growth and development, we start declining and going downhill physically, don't we? And it's not just our bodies, it can be our minds, it can be a lot of things that are a result, remember, of the fall and sin, and not specifically necessarily our sin that we commit, but just because we were born into this world. And so we begin to age. And listen, the aging process is disease, is sickness, is death. We're, in that sense, dying, right? And so maybe it'll help you if I show a picture of who this woman is. Most of you know. Somebody say it out loud. Ah, it's Barbara Bush. Now, here's a picture of Barbara around 92. Most of you know she recently passed away. Her funeral was this last week. She died at 92. She's changed a little bit. Gray head is a crown, I know. And there's a beauty to being older for sure. But we can see in the contrast that she's not who she used to be, is she? I mean, her skin, I still think it's lovely with wrinkles, but it's wrinkled. I still see her hair. It used to be, I don't know, brown, black. Now it's gray. This is just a picture of the aging process. This is the picture of dying. And eventually something is going to get all of us. It could be a number of things. Even something like pneumonia. But something is going to take our lives. But I want to tell you, and I want you to see in this passage, that there is hope. And that there is a healer. And that healing has already been accomplished. And we can enter into that healing through the divine healer, Jesus. And we can realize that healing and live in light of that healing. And when you live in light of that healing, there's a hope that resides in your soul that's deeper than anything in this world can touch. And yes, God can intervene in our circumstances at times miraculously and supernaturally. We're going to see it today. I mean, you saw it all throughout Jesus' life and ministry, throughout the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you see that continue in the book of Acts. Even though Jesus has gone and ascended into heaven, he sends the Holy Spirit that we've been seeing in the book of Acts. And the Holy Spirit empowers his people. And some are given the gift of healing or the gifts of healing. Not only is there that supernatural, miraculous gift that some people have and that God sometimes demonstrates in people's lives, there's also just the natural gifting of men like the writer of the book of Acts, who is Luke, the doctor. Would we say that Luke didn't have a gift of healing? Certainly he did. Luke had a gift of healing. It might not have been supernatural in the way that we think about it, but it was a God-given gift and a mind and a capacity and opportunities to bring about just naturally healing in the human body at different times. And so in simple terms, behind every healing, supernatural or natural, is God, is Christ, is the Redeemer. Think about this with me. When we fell into sin, God did not have to heal us at all, physically or spiritually. He could have left us in our sin. He could have left us in our decline, in our death. But he didn't. That's the beauty of the Bible. It's a story of restoration, a story of redemption. It's actually, listen, a story of healing. And God is healing us, is healing the world. And he does it through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk more about the specifics of that, but let's begin by reading Acts chapter 9 and verse 32 through 43. Would you stand with me as we read it? You can, of course, open your own Bible or take out your device, or it's on the note sheet that you received when you came in. I'm going to pray before we read it, just for our hearts to be prepared as we reverently and respectfully hear from God from the book of Acts. Let's pray. Father, we do pray that you would open our eyes to wonderful things in your word and that you would teach us, Lord. We come to you with submissive and open hearts, knowing that you're good and wonderful, And God, I pray for your healing to be on display to us today through your Son, Jesus. Would you open our eyes even more to his beauty and majesty? Father, if there's someone who's here today that doesn't know you, would you reveal your Son to them? Would you bring them into your healthy kingdom and healthy family in which they will live forever and ever? God, would you clarify any misconceptions that we have or beliefs that we've bought into that aren't true or full and complete? And Lord, deepen our hope, all of us, those who are in this room who know you, deepen their hope and their joy and their peace. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll read it to you. Now, as Peter went here and there among them all, he came down also to the saints who lived at Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, bedridden for 8 years, who was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you." That's the key phrase. Jesus Christ heals you. Rise and make your bed. And immediately he rose. And all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. Now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. In those days, she became ill and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, urging him, "Please, come to us without delay." So Peter rose and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all outside and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And he, Peter, stayed in Joppa for many days with one Simon, a tanner. You can be seated. Do you see these two stories of healing? Stories of the power of Jesus Christ, the divine healer. The first one is about a man named Aeneas. Aeneas, though he lived approximately 2,000 years ago, he, like many people today, for whatever reason, whether it be a car accident or some type of other sickness, he was paralyzed. The text tells us he was paralyzed for 8 years. And he was there in his bed, and Peter, the apostle, the man that became Jesus' follower years before, the same man who preached the sermon of Pentecost, was in Jerusalem, but he made his way to a town called Lydda, where Aeneas was. You'll see a picture behind me of a man in a bed. And I want you to think about Aeneas, this paralyzed man, and how much pain and sorrow that paralyzation had brought into his life and probably his friends and family members around him. And Peter, who by the power of the Holy Spirit was functioning in this gift of healing that God gives some at times in different places, tells Aeneas, "Get up. The Lord Jesus Christ heals you. Now, how could Peter have this kind of boldness? Does this mean that you and I should just walk into a hospital at random and start going room by room, bed by bed, telling people to get up that Jesus Christ heals them? I don't think that's what this means. I think God, through divine revelation, spoke to Peter, and Peter knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ was going to heal this man. And based on the voice of God that was clear and explicit, not based on the burrito he had eaten the night before, or getting worked up with, you know, songs at some point. No, God spoke to him clearly. And so Peter, as an instrument of God, spoke and said, get up, Jesus Christ heals you. And you know what? The proof was in the pudding, right? In that moment, and how many men were there in Lydda who had been paralyzed? I'm sure there were more than just this man. There's nothing in Scripture or in reality that would say to us that Jesus heals everyone every time supernaturally like this. But it also says that he does sometimes heal supernaturally like this. And here's an instance where miraculously superseding the laws of nature, this man who had been paralyzed for 8 years stands up on his feet and begins to walk. Now, why would God do things like this at times? Well, it tells us. Did you see? There were many in Lydda who began to follow the Lord as a result of this. This is the purpose of healing and miracles like this, is to display the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, the divine healer, so that people would begin to follow him. And so, if God works in your life in this way, be sure you give Jesus the glory for that healing. If it comes miraculously, or if it comes through the natural and normal means of doctors like Luke, or doctors like the ones among us, or nurses, or medical professionals, because all of them are employed because God decided to redeem the world instead of leaving it where it was. Don't you see that? Any healing, supernatural or natural, is a result of the fact that God did not just destroy the earth with fire when our first parents sinned. So behind every healing, natural or supernatural, is the mercy of God through the power of Jesus Christ. And when we begin to see this, we can give God glory when we take a Claritin like I did this morning, and it makes me feel a little bit better. Thank you, Jesus, for the researchers in the pharmaceutical industry who came to the knowledge by your grace and through the brains that you gave them and the opportunities that you gave them through a civil and just society through which they could work and do research instead of just being in the military or farming. Praise you, God, for just the normal, natural means that God uses sometimes to bring healing to us physically. What I'm trying to help us see this morning is that all divine healing comes through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, God the Son. He is the only hope for ailing bodies and ailing souls and ailing minds and ailing lives. There's another story in Acts 9, isn't there? This is the story of a woman. Her name was Tabitha or Dorcas. I wouldn't encourage you to name your daughter in today's day and time Dorcas. You can probably figure out why. If you're visiting with us and your name is Dorcas, I don't mean that disrespectfully. We're glad that you're here. Be sure you fill out an information card and I'll write you a personal apology and repent this week. This woman, Tabitha Dorcas, she was a godly woman, right? She was known for good works and charity. Just step back for a moment. Isn't that the type of woman you want to be? Or Isn't that the type of woman you want your daughters to be or your granddaughters to be? For that matter, isn't that the type of man that you want to be, one full of good works and charity? This is what characterized her life. And even the most godly people who love Jesus die. This is why it's just absurd to say that everyone is healed every time of every disease. So this woman, she dies, and they take her body and they wash it says, and they put her in the upper room. But they heard that Peter, who they recognized had the gift of healing and operated in it, and they heard that he was in Lydda, and this woman, Dorcas, had died in Joppa. So here's the map that you saw a glimpse of earlier, but I want to explain it to you a little bit. You can see on the map that, you know, Peter started in Jerusalem, the capital city of Israel, the main city there in the middle. But he made his way to Lydda. That's where Aeneas was healed. So we're talking about real geographical, historical, factual information and things. This is not just fairy tale. This is not just mythology. This is not just Aesop fables. This is real life. You guys know I was there a few weeks ago, and I went to Joppa itself. It's actually called Jaffa today. And so he makes his way to Lydda, and then heals Aeneas, and they heard that he was there, so they send for Peter, and they say, hey, come over here to Joppa on the coast. And Joppa and Lydda are in a broader area called Sharon. And so there, they say, listen, Peter, Tabitha, or Dorcas, she has died. And the widows met him, and they were weeping, and they were showing him tunics that she had sewn for other people. She was just a woman that was knitting and sewing and caring and loving and feeding and praying. And so Peter says, okay, and he says, I want you all to leave the room, this upper room. And he walks up to Tabitha, and he kneels down right there next to her. Or should we say, her body. And he prays. And he says, Tabitha, arise. Now, does this mean that we should all go to the cemetery after service today and walk around in every gravestone and for the glory of God call everybody to come up and out? I don't think that's what that means. I don't think it even means that in every instance where you're at a funeral and it's an open casket that you should boldly, in Jesus' name, go up there and command the body to come up. I don't think that's what that means either. I think when Peter prays, God again speaks to him in a personal way beyond a shadow of a doubt, not based on the pepperoni pizza he ate last night. But with clarity, he says, speak to Tabitha's body and tell it to arise. And he does, and she stands up, though she had been dead. Wow. That's another supernatural, miraculous healing. In some instances, can doctors and medical professionals use those little shockers that they put on the chest and jolt someone's heartbeat back? Yes. And again, that would be a natural means that God uses to help someone's heart start beating again. Not in this instance. Either way, whether it's natural or supernatural, Jesus is behind all of it because he's the Redeemer, and without him, there would be no continuation of the creation in any capacity from the beginning. But in the mercy and the grace of God, divine healing, naturally or supernaturally, comes through Jesus Christ. So think about this with me for a moment. Tabitha, she stands up, and the people are elated and excited. And what does the text say happens as a result of this? Many in Joppa, what? Believe. They believe. So the purpose of the miracle is to point to who Jesus is so that they would begin to follow him and believe in him and become his disciples and have not just the awareness that he can heal the physical body, but awareness that he can heal the soul, the sin-sick soul, that their sins can be forgiven and they can be reconciled to God and they can know God as Father through His Son, Jesus. They can be filled with the Holy Spirit, and when they are, they too are given gifts, and some of them are given the gift of healing, not all, but some are, and some are given the gift of wisdom and the gift of knowledge and the gift of administration and the gift of leadership and the gift of teaching and preaching and the gift of tongues and the gift of prophecy and the gifts of mercy and the gifts of giving, and He gives different people within His body this tapestry of grace. He gives them different gifts, and they function in those gifts as they mature and grow. And all of this happens so that people would know that God loves them, that Jesus Christ is His Son. So think about just one passage that puts some meat on this. Think about with me 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's on your outline. You can turn there. I'll just read it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll just look at a couple of verses, verse 1 through 11. It says this, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts," notice the plural, "gifts of healing," which means there's more than one. So there's multiple expressions of the gifts of healing. I think, you know, there's probably even something supernatural and natural that He gives some people. Gifts of healing by the one Spirit, verse 10, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. I wanted to read that to you just so you know I'm not making that list up. Verse 11, all these things are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as He wills. So this is beautiful, and this is a gift of just, this is a list of just some of the gifts, and we ought to pray for gifts like this. And we ought to look to God expectantly for what He might do. And there are times when He'll speak to someone and there's an expression of that gift of healing. There are other times where we can appropriately just pray for someone to be healed and ask God to do that in Jesus' name. And there are other times when it's appropriate to use natural means to see medical professionals and to utilize some of the things that have been created by humans under God's authority to bring about some of that healing physically. Now, go back to Tabitha with me for a moment. Did Tabitha, after she was raised from the dead, live forever on earth in Joppa? No. So at some point, like Barbara Bush, maybe she was 92, she died again, which is kind of weird to say she died again. She died again. Because even the miraculous and supernatural healings in the Bible and in reality on this earth don't last forever. And that's not meant to discourage. That's actually meant to show you that the hope that we can all have in Christ supersedes our earthly experience. Now, the guy Aeneas, when he was healed of paralyzation, does that mean his legs worked perfectly for the rest of his life? Well, suppose he was 30 when all this happened, and eventually he was in his 90s. Does that mean he could run as fast as Doug Atkinson still in his 90s? Does that mean he could jump as high as Braden Hawk, dunking on folk in the gym here in Gadsden? Probably not. Because even though his legs were miraculously healed one time, he's still on earth and he's still in that process of dying. So here's the issue, and I'm going to try to clarify something. When we are in Christ, are we healed? Are we healed? How should we think about physical healing and spiritual healing and emotional healing? How should we think about it? I want to look at one text and talk about that for a moment. 1 Peter chapter 2. It's on your outline. You can turn there, of course. I want us to read verse 22 through verse 25 together. 1 Peter 2, a passage that we hear quoted a lot, that most of us know, it says this, about Jesus, the Son of God, in his humanity, while he was here on earth, it says he committed no sin. Unlike you and I, he committed no sin. Neither was deceit found in his mouth. He only spoke the truth, unlike you and I. Verse 23, when he was reviled, when people reviled him, he did not revile in return. No, when he suffered, he did not threaten. What type of love is this that doesn't retaliate in that way? But he continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Notice Jesus' mentality. He knew that God the Father was in control of everything, and so he could walk with joy and peace and trust in God's provision. Verse 24 is the main text I want to look at with you. He himself, that is Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the tree. Notice, when Jesus died, he was bearing our sin on the tree, on the cross. So that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. So the reason why Jesus died was to cover our sins and to enable us to live righteously, to be made spiritually alive and to live out the life that we were created to live out. So here's my question. Do any of us do that perfectly as Christians? Do any of us do that perfectly? No, we don't. But positionally, as we've talked about many times, we are positionally made right before God. And we're working out that salvation, and one day that righteousness will be completed. When? In the resurrection. Of what? The body and the soul. Positionally, we're saved. Positionally, we're declared righteous. But practically, that's being worked out, and it'll be culminated in glorification and the resurrection when Christ returns and establishes the new heavens and the new earth. Let's keep going. By Jesus's wounds, you have been healed. That's in the past. When Jesus died on the cross and his work was finished, the healing of our souls and our bodies was completed. Verse 23, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. So, we know that we're saved and our souls are healed in Jesus, but we know that we haven't fully realized that yet here on earth, and that we await the ultimate culmination in the resurrection. But is it not also true that physically, positionally in Christ, we are healed? And though we may not see the fullness of that until the resurrection when we receive a new body, positionally we are in fact healed because that healing comes from the divine healer who is Christ. So think about this with me. When you and I walk through sickness and your voice begins to wane like mine because of sinuses, am I destined to eternal sinus infections? Am I destined to eternally waking up at night and I won't tell you what I do at night when I wake up, when I have something like this. If I were at some point in the future to have some type of heart struggles, am I destined to heart struggles? Am I just sick? Does sickness define me? If I were at some point to get cancer, would cancer define me? Would sickness and disease define me? And the answer, of course, is what? No. What actually defines me? If I'm 80 years old, can you imagine me at 80? Don't try. At 80 years old, suppose I get sick with pneumonia and you come visit me in the hospital and I'm in the process of dying. Am I defined by sickness? Am I defined by death? No. I'm actually defined by healing because I am positionally healed. And I will realize that healing when Christ returns and I receive a new body. That's my defining. But I realize right now, it's hard for me to talk. But that's not who I am. I have a tremendous voice. I have a wonderful voice. Right? I'm not being arrogant. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because in the resurrection, there'll be no drainage anymore. So I think this is how we should think about this. And here's where the hope comes from. The hope comes when, whether it's a bacterial infection or bronchitis or whatever else, we are healed and we have hope. And that's not a delusion, that's a reality. If, in fact, our life is hidden with Christ in God, and it is. Do you see this? And so now I can, in the right way and at the right time and to the right people, and I should think this way in my mind, I'm healed. And with that type of thinking comes hope. And with that kind of hope comes the ability to persevere no matter what comes my way. Now, I know that if I'm talking with my doctor and he comes in and says, well, you know, how do you feel today? Well, I'm healed. No, tell him your throat hurts, okay? And so temporarily, your throat does hurt. And temporarily, you might have hemorrhoids. And temporarily, there might be something going on in your body. And that's understandable. We're using language to explain things. But positionally, realize that when you're talking to him about your hemorrhoids, that you don't, that's not what defines you. You see what I'm saying? And so we can have rational, normal conversations about things so that we can receive help in time of need. And we can also think about ourselves rightly in light of what Christ has finished for us on the cross. Does this make sense? And I think this is how God allows us to be able to live. So that Satan and sin and disease and demons don't have the last word, even when you breathe your last breath. So there will be, women, a time when the one true and living God speaks to your dead body and says, rise, and it will rise. And that defines you not for 30 years or 60 years, but for 6,000 years, even 6 million years. So don't be defined by the dash between the dates. Also, men like Aeneas, when your body fails you and eventually your heart stops beating, there will come a day when not Peter, but the one true God says, get up and walk forever into eternity and dance and sing and rejoice and experience eternal healing. And that's what awaits you, sir and ma'am, if you are in Christ. This is the beauty of Christianity. This is the beauty of the gospel, that we're not just healed in our souls and spirits, though certainly we are. We're also healed in our bodies and physically, and it's total and complete, and there's complete and total restoration, And how do we get there? There's one way, through the finished work of Jesus. So if you're not a Christian and you're here today, how much more persuasive could the Bible be? Don't you feel your need? Don't you feel your need physically, emotionally, spiritually, in every way? What are you waiting for? Why are you looking for temporal healing, as good as that may be, when you can find eternal healing forever? Well, if God is speaking to you, turn from your sin and self-trust today, or your trust in people, or even medication and technology, as wonderful as they can be, and trust in the God who created and designed them and allowed humans to come to that knowledge. Jesus Christ is the divine healer. Sometimes he'll do it miraculously, and we'll pray for that today. In fact, there's two prayer teams as we sing this closing song. One of those prayer teams will be back here. The other prayer team will be back here. This would be a great Sunday if you have some type of physical ailment for those prayer teams to pray for you. And we'll ask God to heal you. And he might do that. There are other times when it's wise and good to go see a medical professional. We would encourage you to do that too. But it is always wise and good for you to look to Jesus for your salvation, the salvation of your soul and your body. Seth and the worship team can come forward. I want to pray for us, and then we can sing together. And remember the prayer teams that will be available during this song. I would encourage you to go and ask for prayer related to any issues you may be struggling with. And then we will partake in communion together. Father, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. And God, I thank you that in the same way that you healed Aeneas and Tabitha, you could do it again. And so, Seth, could we sing, actually, I know I'm putting you on the spot, could we sing that song, Do It Again? In light of Acts chapter 9, God has done it before. He can do it again. He can bring healing to our lives today. And he will do it one day for sure in the resurrection. And so would you stand with me as we sing and are reminded of God's faithfulness, the same God who is alive and who raised Tabitha and healed Aeneas can raise us and heal us in whatever way that means today, physically and spiritually. Would you sing with me?